Thank you personally for giving me the tongue of the learned, and that I may know how to speak a word in season to them that are weary, that my speech and my teaching and preaching is not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but with demonstration and manifestation of the Spirit and a power. Therefore, Lord, I commit to give you alone all the praise and the glory and the honor for what will take place this day and also in the many days to come, in the mighty name of Jesus. And all of God's wonderful people said,
amen.
Amen. If you would, open your Bible to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And we're going to continue our study in why faith in God matters. Say, why faith in God matters. And this is an important topic because oftentimes we do many Christian things and not always understand why. And the area of faith is a very important part of our life. It should be a very important part of our life. We have faith in God to receive Him as our Lord and Savior. But He wants us to walk and live by faith. In other words, our daily activities should be a walk of faith. And it's been taught over the years, especially in the last 25, 30, 40 years, a lot by many ministers around the country and around the world. But actually, unfortunately, not enough people really understand it. And part of it is that people have not been motivated to dig deeper. They think it's something you do to get what you need, get things, and so forth. They don't see the broader application of faith. You need faith to get married, to stay married. Amen. Okay, I'm going to go on the side over here. You need faith to get married and stay married. And it's a walk, a daily walk of faith. If you have a little tit for tat before you leave, you'll go off to work with you and your spouse, and maybe some harsh words, or maybe some, you know, just kind of the cold shoulder treatment. Mm-hmm. It takes faith to call them and say, "Baby, I'm sorry. I love you." When they really kind of went there and kind of hurt you a little bit. And to say, "You know what, I'm sorry we got in an argument. You know, I spoke out of turn and I did this and did that. Please forgive me. I'm going to do better." And you're just going to say, "Yeah," and you just go and do that. And "I love you. Can't wait till I get home and see you again." Say, that's by faith. Because sometimes when we're going to get into it in a moment, our emotions get the best of us and don't do the right thing, which is love, in spite of how we may feel, you don't call. "I'm not ready to call her yet or call him yet." What does that mean? Think about it. You're not ready? It's your emotions that won't let you do it. And so we're talking about the life of faith and the why. Say the why.
The why.
It says here in Hebrews 11, 1, to have faith is to be sure. Say, be sure.
Be sure.
Stop there. Be sure? I mean, this is huge because a lot of times in life, people aren't what? Sure. To have faith is to be sure of the things we hope for, to be certain of the things we cannot see. And this is the piece we want to focus on in our teaching today and next time, is that the things you cannot see with your natural eyes. Or you cannot feel it, you cannot touch it, it's not part of your senses. You don't pick up on it. It's seeing beyond that. Say beyond that. Look here at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, a very popular passage, but yet appropriate for what we're talking about today. It says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." In fact, read it out loud with me, please. "For we walk by faith, not by sight." One more time.
"For we walk by faith, not by sight."
He's talking about not by our physical, natural eyes sight. Doesn't mean you don't pay attention to the stop sign. No. What he means is that the things that you're seeking to do and what God has asked you to do and he puts on your heart to do and give you instructions and so forth, like getting married. The Bible says when a man finds a wife, finds a good thing, and then after a while, about 2 or 3, 4, 5, 6 years, you run into a little challenge. Well, it requires you to not walk by sight because you may have a few days, maybe even a week or more, sometimes of tension, and it feels like you don't love her or you don't love him no more. That's not what you said on your wedding day.
Amen.
So rather than give in to that and act like it, you have to work things out, may require some marriage counseling, some talk about it and so forth, but you don't give in to, "I don't love her no more, he don't love me." No, don't go there. Don't even say that. How do you do that? You walk by what? Faith, not by sight. You walk by what you believe. Even though it's hard, I believe I still love her. I believe I still love him. Are you following me? And I'm going to act accordingly. When you start giving in to how you feel, you make decisions you regret the rest of your life. Because feelings are in the emotions. It's about our flesh, our natural body, our natural emotions, and it never does any good for us. This is why we need to live by faith. It doesn't mean that you have to be tortured and, you know, do stuff. No, it's about pressing in to accomplish what you really, really want, even though it's a little difficult. So we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, for most people, it is hard to see beyond what they see and feel naturally. So don't feel bad. I have to deal with it as well. Even from time to time, I got to catch myself. Ed, stay focused. Say, stay focused.
Stay focused.
And press in beyond how I feel. I can get angry. I can get disappointed. I'm faster, but those things happen to me. Then I have to rest my attention. I have to decide to not focus and not believe on what's happening and accept it as fact in my life and embrace it. When I know it's not what I really want. It's not what God promises me. So when you walk by faith, you're following what God has promised you in his word, what he's asked you to do, and you stepped out to do that, and all of a sudden you run into some waves, some turbulence, some problems, and all of a sudden, God, you miss God? No, you didn't miss God. You have to learn to walk by what? Faith. Because when you walk by faith, is how we tap into the ability of God to accomplish his plan for our lives. And that's the key. You tap into the ability of God. Say, tap into the ability of God. The reality is we can't live life like God would have us to live it by ourselves without God's help, God's ability, God's power, God's wisdom. And we have to tap into it. And we do it by faith. You see, we put our trust in him. We put our hope in him. We look to him. And when we do that, he gets involved now. It's kind of like having not to be rich, but, well-to-do relative. Let's say a rich uncle or a rich aunt or they do okay financially. And here you are, you're struggling in life, and you need a little extra rent money, you know. But you didn't want to bother your aunt again. You don't want to say, auntie, you know she'll help you, she's good. But so you just kind of think, you got other things to do in your life and your money, And so then she find out you're homeless. You lost your place. How do you think she's going to feel? Not too good. When you could have went to her. Yes, for the fourth time in the last 9 months. But she loves you. Are you following me? Amen. Well, with God, and unlike your auntie, God got a plenty of supply.
Amen.
But so often we don't go to him with faith to help us. We need to tap into his abundant supply and ability. Amen. To help us in every area of life. That's faith. In a very simple way, that's faith. I have faith like your auntie. I know she got money. I'm going to call her right now. Have faith in God like that and even more. Amen? Amen. And again, it's not just about things. Like getting your needs met and your rent paid or mortgage paid. It's about loving again. When your heart's been broken and hurt. Yeah. Okay. Sometimes when there's great pain in our lives, we put markers in our heart and don't realize it. You say things like, I'll never love a person again. I'll stay married to him, but I'll never give him all my heart again. God is speaking to somebody. Just look straight ahead and don't know God's talking about you. And I'm serious. I'm not trying to be funny. People have done that. I believe someone has done that very thing. Still married, but not giving your all. And what God is saying, you need to love again by faith. And as you love and love, see, the Bible says God is love. I didn't talk like this in the first service. Somebody, God is love. Say, he is love.
He is love.
When I love, I bring God on the scene now. Because he is what?
Love.
Whatever you find love, you find what? God. Now, back in your marriage. But if you say, I'm going to hold back because you don't want to be hurt again, it was too painful, God gets it. But if you want the healing, you want the healing, you want the joy that passes all understanding. You know, know, the small kids aren't in here. We might have to be a little real sometimes. Even your sex life is not the same when you're not loving right. You're holding back with husband and wife. It's not the same. You know that. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. And so how do you do it? By faith. When you first do it, you may not feel like it. Then emotions come together later. You don't wait on how you feel. You do it by what?
Faith.
But we need an encounter with God. Say an encounter with God.
An encounter with God.
When you have an encounter with God, you're knowing He has spoken to us. This is powerful. You know God has spoken to you. Something about when you heard God speak to you. Now, when I was a young Christian, I heard people say that. I'm thinking, He's not talking to me. Well, partly because you're not in a place to let Him talk to you, to hear Him. See, God is always talking. The issue is we're not hearing Him. We're not looking to hear Him talk to us. Or we're afraid of God to talk to us. He might ask me to do something I don't want to do. I know, I get it. But when you really love God and you know He loves you, then you don't have to fear like that, that you may ask you to do something you don't want to do, because the Bible says God's thoughts towards you are of peace, not evil, and to give you your expected end. So He has good thoughts. It's the way of the world that thinks God's trying to hurt you and take from you. That's not God. You can trust Him. Say, I can trust God. But when you know God has spoken to you, you have an encounter with Him. Every example in Scripture, whether it's Apostle Paul or Esther, when Mordecai came to her and said, you know, go talk to the king because our people are about to be destroyed by this evil man, and you need to talk to the king and have the king change the law. And she knew that if I'm not invited to go talk to the king, and I go talk to the king, and he gets mad at me, even though I'm his wife, I can be killed. And she had a good reason not to be concerned. But she began to seek God and fast and pray. And she got a clarity, go to the king. And guess what? God honored that, her faith in God, and she was not killed, obviously, and God took care of His people by the king making the right decision.
Amen.
When we see what God wants us to do, our faith will rise in our heart to do it, to get to accomplish what needs to be done when you have an encounter with God. That's why we have these encounters here at our church. There's things that God has been saying to you that you have not been hearing. But when you start getting a place, where you can hear God speak to you, it's just a place of openness. You got your Bible open. You got your notepad. You're seeking God. The Bible said God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Not casually. Well, God, I got things to do. If you want to talk, come on, God. It don't work that way with God. Catch up, God. Uh-uh. You run to Him. You want Him. Like a good quality woman. You want me? You got to catch up with me. You want me. She don't see you halfway across the field and you looking at, she looking at you and run after you. Uh-uh. I'm not a quality woman. She wants a man in her life that wants her. First. Say first. Because when God opens up to you, you get everything. And He wants to know you want Him. Not His hand, not just His face, but Him. That's what He loved about what He said about David. I found a man after my heart. After my heart. And so when we get to a place, we'll have encounters. We should have that ongoing in our lives. God, sometimes they make corrections, make course corrections. Some of them are next levels or clarity of purpose and vision. All that is encountering God. I'm reminded when my wife and I, well, we weren't wife, husband and wife then. In fact, I'm not sure we were officially boyfriend and girlfriend. I was checking it out, though. Yeah. I was checking it out. And I was following her. Even the church following her, you know. And so she tells us, in fact, why don't you tell her, babe? She says it better than me. You say it better than me. Come on, babe. About how when the Lord spoke to you about as your husband.
Oh,
Come on, come on, come here. Next, next to your husband. Your husband. Don't she look so fine?
Oh.
Yeah, my bad.
Well, I had gotten to a place where I wanted what God wanted. You know, sometimes you're not quite there. But I was chasing God. Because of my mother's prayers, God sent someone to UCLA that mentored me. And so parents, keep praying and believing for
come
your
on,
children.
Come on.
So, and I was saved. I was a nice person, you know, but I wasn't mature, you know, or anything like that. But anyway, God sent someone to the school that mentored me, and I wanted God. I was chasing God. I wasn't chasing no men. You know, I liked him. He was appealing to me. But anyway, I was in church. But if he wasn't the one, that's it. So, but anyway, we were in church. I was in church, and there was one young man on the organ that liked me. I knew that he liked me. And so the Lord had me pondering, and he put on my heart, I wonder who my husband is. I wasn't just thinking it. The Lord put it on my heart, and I was wondering. Who was my husband. And so it was almost like an audible voice said that Ed is your husband. And so I said, oh, good. You know when the Lord speaks to your heart, I didn't know about God speaking to your heart that much, but it was so loud and clear. Ed is your husband. So I was excited. I said, good, I like him. Because the other young man, he was all right. And if God said he was the one, you know, I was going to go with the flow. But I was glad to hear that he was the one. And so after a time, you know, I think I shared it. I didn't share it with him, but I shared it with my two sisters. And so they took me to see our family prophetess, you know, and I had respect for her because she had prophesied in our family and everything. And so I guess they wanted to get her opinion about it. So anyway, when I got over there, she started talking about marriage. And so I figured to myself, I said, she's going to confirm that he is my husband, you know, because she was talking about marriage, but she didn't. And by the way, my friend was with me, one of my friends that was also getting mentored by our mentor. And so she prophesied over me, and she prophesied over my friend, and she told me that he wasn't my husband. And she started saying a whole lot of things. She said he was going to have an education, you know, as if the one I had didn't have an education. And that kind of puzzled me because, you know, he was in college. I said, I mean, what kind of education is he supposed to have? And then, you know, but I was, you know, still respecting her. And then I probably shouldn't say this.
Go ahead. That's it.
She mentioned that the husband I have going to be good looking and he's going to have a gold tooth. And when she said that, I'm sorry. Anybody that has a gold tooth, it's all right. My dad had one, but it wasn't just what I wanted. But anyway, I said, oh. And so she said, but it's going to be on the side where you can't see it again. I said, oh. And I'm not trying to be vain, but well, anyway. So anyway, I kind of took it, and then she anointed me and she anointed my friend. My friend didn't receive what she said because she said a whole lot of stuff. I mean, I don't know if it was true or not, but my friend got a napkin and just wiped the anointing. I had a little bit more respect for her. You know, I said, well, you know, I better seek God some more because, you know, she had prophesied in our family for a long time. And so anyway, I decided to go I went to another mother that I respected in the Lord, and I told her what was going on, and I said I was kind of confused because I thought God told me he was my husband. And this is, see, the devil, God can give you something, and the devil will try to make you doubt.
Come on.
You know.
Come on.
He'll try to make you doubt, and that's what was going on because it was so strong. I never had an experience like that where it was so strong that he was my husband. But I still wanted to be sure, so the godly woman of wisdom said, you know, I could give you my opinion, but I think you need to pray and seek God. So what I did was I went on a 3-day fast, and I prayed, and I said, Father, I want clarity because I just want what you want for me. I thought you said he was my husband, but please let me know. And so on the 3rd day of my fast, I was in the airport, and I had my Bible, and I was waiting for my mom, and I opened my Bible. I opened my Bible straight to Jeremiah 23 and 25, and I looked down. So I didn't know if an angel did it or not, but I just had my Bible. I wasn't necessarily thinking I was going to get my answer right then, but I opened my Bible to Jeremiah 23, 25, and it talks about false prophets.
Come on.
and how they cause God's people to err by their lies, yet I sent them not.
Come on.
I mean, it's more in between, you know, so when I got that, that's all I needed. You know, I said, okay, then what you told me was the truth. And, you know, people are well-meaning. I'm not saying that she was necessarily a false prophet, but she missed it. And so that's why you got to know God for yourself, and you got to hear for yourself. You know, not putting down prophets, because sometimes they do confirm, you know. And so after that, nobody could tell me nothing. Even though I was a baby Christian, I got my answer. And my sister, one of my sisters, you know, they're well-meaning because they want the best for you. One of them said, Vanessa, you know, she said, yeah, that's right. But the other ones, you know, that was her good friend, the prophet. And so she kept coming at me. She would still try to convince me that he wasn't. And she said, even a preacher said he's not your husband. I said, well, the devil must have told him. And she said, loose here, Satan. I love my sister. She's in heaven now. But anyway, my point is that God can talk to you even if you're a baby Christian.
Yeah.
You know, because I wasn't that old in the Lord, and He talked to me loud, so expect to hear from him. And what was the other thing that I forgot to say? Oh, years later, after I was married and had, you know, I had had a few children, I went over, you know, the prophetess house with my sister. You know, I loved her. You know, she meant well, but she was wrong. And so I went over to her house after some years, and I don't know if she forgot she gave me that prophecy or not, but she said, you got a good husband.
Prophet lying on me, come on. Now the point is, she had an encounter with the Lord. She pressed in, fasting, praying for clarity, a vision and purpose. Answers. God, I need to hear from you. You got to set yourself aside from your schedule to seek God. I need to hear from you. And she got the answer. Ed is your husband. And then God used the lady, you know, again, I guess she knows the Lord and all that, but she missed it. My wife said she missed it. You may have good friends, could be family. You've heard from God, and they don't understand what you're trying to do. So your prayers will help them understand, or ask the Lord to show them. In the meantime, you be about what God told you to do. But you can't do that and deal with the uncomfortableness and all that, trying to please people, if you don't know how to live by faith and not aware and clarity that you heard from God yourself.
Amen.
Say, hear from God myself. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. It says, while we do not look at the things which are seen. Notice God got us a lot of words like seeing and looking, because that's important to us. While we do not look at the things which are seen naturally, but at the things which are not seen. You can't see naturally, but they exist. Notice, notice, we look at the things that are seen. Then it says, but we look at, implied, at the things, say things, that are not seen. He said, there are things that exist, but you don't see it. Her husband exists. She didn't see it at first. That job, that career exists. College money exists. You don't see it yet. And he says, that is what you should be looking at, what you can't see naturally. And that's faith. Say faith.
Faith.
How can I do that? You got to have a word from who? God. And that word is your confirmation. And then it says, for the things which are seen naturally are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. They exist in the spirit world. I don't know, I could cut my math off a little bit, but probably maybe 60, 70, maybe 80 years, no more than 100, maybe more like 70, 80 years, that science is beginning to discover that there were bacteria that you can't even see.
Wow.
It exists, but they couldn't see with the natural eye. Until microscopes got developed and started to be more widely used, doctors were taking, were operating on somebody and get a disease and then go to a woman who's having a baby, blood all on his hands, thought it was okay, it's all blood, right, in his mind. And the woman gets a disease and baby dies, she dies. Until they begin to realize he was transferring bacteria or disease. That's why they required to wash their hands in the hospital. There's things that exist you cannot see. And the Bible says God has already provided everything you need in life. They exist. Amen. You're not making it up. Your faith brings it to pass. I know it may be a little hard for some of you. I get it. But things exist. You just don't see it. You talk to anybody who operates in business and successful at it, they'll tell you there's never a money problem. There's plenty of money. It's about vision. And presenting to the right people. It exists already. Say it exists already. I would like to give an illustration. I'll stand about here. Because part of what has to help you look at what you cannot see naturally, but look at what you see spiritually, is to recognize that you're seeing something that God has spoken to you, a better life, healing, finished college, my financial needs are met. Whatever he's promised you or he's spoken to you about, that's what you see. And when you hear those words, it paints an image in your mind, you all. Okay, before I do this, let me explain to you. Okay. I'm getting married, young lady said. I'm getting married. I'm so excited. She meets with the wedding coordinator and the person lays it out, the plan. And you start, now you don't see with your natural eye, but you're in the banquet hall and you're explaining the kind of stuff you want. But you can't, the designer cannot see it yet with the natural eye, but you see it though. I want this colors, I want this drapery, I want this thing, I want all that, and I want this kind of rug, and I want these kind of chairs, and I want to spend this amount of money. You see it already. Amen. And what do? By faith, you talk about it. And as you talk about it, guess what? The wedding planner creates it for you. We do it all the time, the natural. Why not? With the word of God. We do it all the time, y'all. Come on. But the challenge is about walking by sight, natural sight, as opposed to by faith, is that we're dealing with this natural person, this natural human being. And too often we focus on what I have in the bank or what they said or I don't qualify. I'm reminded when I went to college at UCLA, I forget, either freshman or sophomore year. And I applied to become a resident advisor. When I went to go check on it, I found out that they normally require graduate students or seniors to be resident advisors for dormitories. I wanted the job because I realized they get a little stipend, about $500 a month. I like that. Get free rent, get a place in a nice room, a bigger room, like a little mini suite kind of thing. I like that. Plus, you get free meals. I love that. I said, this kind of job I want. On campus, too. I love it. The only thing is they normally hire seniors or graduate students. I'm a freshman or junior. But guess what I did? I went down and applied anyway. I saw something I didn't see naturally on the application. I could have said, no, I didn't do that. I let my faith in my heart, what I desired, go forward. I want to minister to you. We'll kind of cow down and say, well, maybe it wasn't meant for me. Was it in your heart? You get confirmation in your heart that God would have you to have this? You really want this or really need this? Then go for it and use your faith. So I had a talk and interview. Oh, I can do this. Never done anything like that before. I want to minister to you. You serve a God that can help you do things you never done before. Amen. As if you did. When we started this church, never passed it before. The very first Sunday, we had a lot of friends come out, packed out. One of my friends came and asked me afterwards, how did it go? He said, Pastor, look like you've been doing this for a long time, my first Sunday. Now, I have been some exposure, experience, helped other pastors start church and so forth. But my point is that, well, I've never done it before. It's faith. I expect it to work out. We had children ministry, had audio, had Elder Carter. He was our praise team of one person. Had a little cassette tape. He sung with that, okay? In fact, I would talk. Oh, yeah. Every Sunday, I would say, you know what? We appreciate Elder Carter, but he's by himself. I see a praise team up there singing. And we had a piano. We were renting a high school and had a little piano on stage. I see somebody playing that piano. I see that. I kept talking about what I saw. Guess what? I'm not sure Marston's here. May have been at the first service, Marston Riley. He came forward one service and said, you know what? I can play the piano. I'm a music director at my school where I teach. And that started it all. But if I would have let it be, well, I don't know if there's anybody here. Don't say nothing. Don't act like I'm believing God for that. Don't tell nobody about it. Okay. See, sometimes we don't talk about it because we're afraid if it don't work, I won't be embarrassed. Then it's not real enough to you. And that's fear. That's right, babe. Amen. When fear arises, oh, yeah. Let God talk to you. When fear arises, see, fear is of the enemy. It's the evil spirit. But so don't be bothered about trying to deal with evil spirit and be concerned, overly concerned about that. Just walk in faith. It's like when you want light and you're in the darkness, you don't fight darkness. Just turn on the what? Light. Come on. Ain't no battle with that. When you understand, just stay in the what? Light. Stay in faith. Fear gets handled automatically.
Right, Bishop.
Fear gets handled every time. You just stay in faith. I'm afraid. Okay. What else is new? We all get afraid of time. Just go back in faith. Stay in the light. Say, stay in the light.
Stay in the light.
But it's a matter of focus on what God has shown you, what God has spoken to you. But if we don't have a habit of speaking and pursuing what we believe, we let our emotions, what we see, rattle our cage, if you would.
Amen.
And we settle in life. And we call it God. We call it God. But we settle. Say settle.
Settle.
No matter what you focus on. So you see me here standing. You see me, cameras focusing on me. If I had brought the focus on my nice handkerchief here. What color is it? Somebody in the back over here. What color is it? Look at the screen. What color is it? Any other colors in there? On this side? Any other colors in there? What color? Huh? Blue. They're way back there. Why are they focusing on what? Right now. Now they're going to focus on the angels on the Ark of the Covenant behind me. You see the angels back there real close? Do you see me? That's huge. See, I'm still existing. I'm still in the way. You don't see it because you're focused on something far at what God promised you. Beyond where you are today. See, it's marriage problems today. Money problems today. Health problems today. But there's going to be a tomorrow. What did God promise you? And what are you believing?
Amen.
What do you want? Faith sees. It is not blind. And your focus, your attention. You're going to die. I'm not going to fly an airplane. You're going to die. That's where your focus is. Airplane travel is probably one of the most safest travels you can do. More folk fly an airplane safely than people driving cars. Or walking the street. Okay. But it's what we focus our attention on.
Amen.
When you walk by faith, you focus on what God said in His Word. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, for faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, that's in Romans 10:17, and that word, W-O-R-D, in many other places in the Bible, is the word in the Greek where the New Testament was written from, is the word logos. But in Romans 10:17, it's the word rhema. And that word rhema means the saying word of God. It's what God is saying to you.
Amen.
And it's important when you're having these encounters with God and God speaks to you about, like my wife, Ed is your husband. No matter what the prophet said, no matter what the preacher says, no matter what anybody says, you heard from who? God personally. And that is where faith. Now I got faith. I can act on it. If you have, well, I'm going to do what Brother So-and-so did. You know what? He didn't tell you to do that. He told Brother So-and-so. And so you need to stay in a place. Say, stay in a place. You can hear God talk to you personally about a number of things. Will somebody get my Bible for me and bring it over here? Thank you, thank you. I appreciate it. Ma'am, with a nice brown hat, any reason why you didn't come get my Bible for me? No? Okay, just thought I asked. Sir, you have a nice black shirt on. Any reason why you didn't come get my Bible for me? I'm sorry? You didn't? No? Okay. All right. You're nice and strong, brother. Come on, man. Any reason why you come get my Bible for me?
I didn't see it.
You didn't see it? Okay. All right. Any reason why you didn't come get my Bible for me? No reason. All right. Lady with the black leather jacket on, the red blouse. Any reason why you didn't come get my Bible? Oh, you know I have an assistant. Good. She thought somebody else would do it for me. It's good. Now, the point is why more of you did not get up and come get my Bible, even if you knew it was right there in my seat, you didn't think I was talking to you. If you thought, all things being equal, I was speaking to you, you would have got up and come pick it up and gave it to me. Are you following me?
Yes.
If I would ask you specifically, you would have said, oh, I'll do it for you, Pastor.
Yes.
Okay? That's the difference between the Logos and the Rhema word from God. Oh, God can do anything. Nothing's too hard for God. That sounds good, you know, in the Bible. But when he's talking to you and what you're facing, oh, God can do anything. I got a rhema word. He's talking to me about that. That's the difference.
Amen.
That these encounters with God, time with God, a place where you're open to hear from God, and God speaks. You tell other people, talk to the hand, I know what God said to me.
Amen.
We all need to have experiences like that.
Amen.
If you don't have those on some regular basis, don't put yourself down. Just get closer to God.
Amen.
Draw closer. Because you're not going to be able to walk by faith without a rhema personal word when you know God's called you to preach, God's called you to go to college, God called you to marry that woman or marry that man. If you don't know, then you guess it. And then you're going to question it some down the line. I shouldn't have started that business. I guess that wasn't God. I thought it was God. See, you're messing up. Don't do that. You better know.
Amen.
If you don't know yet, put everything, all the brakes on until you're sure.
Amen.
That's why you have to have a personal word from God. Just ministering to you?
Yes.
Otherwise, we jump out and stuff, and we're not convinced. We're not persuaded. We just hope it'll work out. It looks nice. Work for Jim and Susie. They're Christians. They go to church. Yeah. But what did God say to you?
Amen.
And it's not having that confirmation and faith in what God has said to you, why you don't see more happening. And in many cases, won't even get out of the boat and walk. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Christians are praying softly. You're here today, and you say, Pastor, God has been speaking to me already. Maybe before you came here, he's been speaking to you about some things. Maybe as you sit here, he's been speaking to you about some things. I will say to you, for those who have not accepted Christ, meaning you have not embraced him as your Lord and Savior, that's what it means to be born again or to become a Christian. You accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's not joining the church that does it. It's not just believing that that Jesus exists one day. He was a good prophet. It's accepting him and acknowledging him as your personal Lord and Savior. When you do that, he belongs to you and you belong to him. And he's your God. It's very simple. The Bible says if you will confess with your mouth, it means to say and acknowledge, and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, Jesus he's speaking about, you shall be saved. And God has a plan for your life. where every head is bowed and every eye closed and believers are praying softly. If you're here today and you say, I would like to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I know I need him. I know that he has a plan for my life. I believe it. I just know it. That he wants to complete what he started in your life. You were born for such a time as this. I want to pray for you. In a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity so I can pray for you. Secondly, you may say, Pastor, I'm a Christian. I know I love God. I've accepted him years ago or whatever time ago you did. But you recognize now that I need to get back refocused on God. I see even my concerns about my family, about my career. God has to be the center of it or else it's going to all fall apart. And you want to wait till then run to God after everything has fallen apart. If you just come to God, not in fear, but in faith, and get closer to him and have those encounters with him. And it starts today by you making a decision to recommit your life to Christ. Doesn't mean you're in sin, you're a bad person. You're just saying, God, I'm all in. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to learn more about you and say yes to your will. And allow you to, like my wife, First Lady here, allow you to speak personally to my heart about things that concern me. Things I need answers to and clarity on. That's the kind of God we serve. So if you say, yes, I'm ready to recommit my life to Christ, because you can't find the help and the answers out there in places where God does not rule. God rules in his kingdom. And he wants you to tap into what he does, his protection, his provision, his help, his love in his kingdom. You say, yes, I want to recommit my life to Christ. I want to pray for you in a moment as well. If you'd like to join our church and be a part of our church family, you came to the right place. We welcome you. You're under no obligation to join our church and be a part of our community. But if you like to commit and be a part, it's easy. Just say yes. And we'll help you grow. Because when you commit to a church, you tend to come more regularly and you tend to grow. Because God speaks to the people who have been called to a local church. When you read in the book of Revelation, there's an angel that's assigned to every church. And the Spirit of God is speaking to the church. And he mentions the various churches that the angels were assigned to. My friend, there's an assignment on your life at a specific church. Not any church. Yeah, you can visit other churches. But if God is speaking to you to be a part of this assembly, then God speaks to me and other people that serve and minister in this church to serve you, to give you what God has provided for you. It's in the context of a local church. And this is why there's such an attack on the local church. Such misconceptions about the local church. Because what you need to be all you guys call you to be is in the context of a local church. Fellow believers, because we're a family. We're family. God established the local church. He calls pastors and other ministers to serve in the local church. So if God is speaking to you by being a part of our church family, we welcome you. In a moment, I want to pray for you and welcome you as well. If you'd like to be filled with the Holy Spirit, receive the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, help you walk strong in your Christian walk, today is your day. We want to minister to you as well. So again, to respond to any one of these invitations, either to receive Christ for the first time in your life or recommit your life to Christ, either come back to God or just say, God, I'm going to be more all in with you. To join our church or be filled with the Holy Spirit. Receive the power of the Holy Spirit to help you live this life more effectively that Jesus offers us. I want you to raise your hand. While every head is bowed and every eye closed, raise your hand. If you want to respond to any one of these invitations, would you raise your hand up high? Raise it up high, please. We don't want you to miss out on what God has in store for you. Raise your hand. We don't want you to miss out. I believe you're here to say yes to God. Just come. You're free to come. You're free to come. Just get up. Come forward. We won't ask you to say anything. We're not trying to embarrass you. Just want you to be intentional about what you want from God. Because he was intentional about giving his best to you. Are there others? I believe there are others. I believe there are others. Just come. Just come. Don't hesitate. The Spirit of God is speaking. He's calling you. He's calling you. He loves you. Don't be afraid. Maybe brought a friend, not to force, not to pressure, but ask them. If you see a need to come forward, I'll walk up there with you. That's what might encourage them. You're welcome to do that. Again, no pressure, just inquiring. We don't want nobody to miss what God has in store for them. Speaking to your heart. Don't ignore it. You know he's speaking to you. You're free. What was offered to you, you heard me say, you need it, you want it, just come before we pray. You're free to come. It's going to be okay. It's going to be a brighter day for you. What you've been looking for, it begins with this step of faith. Stretch your hands toward these that have said yes to God and responded. And those that still need to respond, you may come as I pray if you like. But Father, I pray for these men and women that said yes to you. They're opening themselves up, Lord. Yes, they became vulnerable, but that's okay. So were you, Jesus, on the cross. But they're saying, Lord, you made me, you created me, you put me on this earth at this time and season of the world for a purpose. So, Lord, I commit them to your keeping, into your hand. I pray that the eyes of their understanding will be further enlightened. That they will discover and embrace the hope of their calling that you have for their life. Whatever that may be, in any field of endeavor, that you'll be with them and they'll represent you and they'll grow and enjoy the life that you've given them through your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. They'll be free of anything that would hinder them and stop them from pursuing the life through Jesus Christ you have for them. Thank you. And we'll do our part to pray and encourage and love them and support them. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Could you turn to your right, my left? My sister right there in the blue blouse, please follow her, please. Come on, Zoe. We're excited. Come on, Zoe. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, I want to do what I said I would do earlier, or at least Brother Blackman said earlier, that We have a brief first-time visitor reception just for you as visitors, or maybe you've been coming for a while and haven't had a chance to greet my wife and I. We would like to greet you as well. So if you're a first-time visitor, please stand up and come forward. We'll escort you to our first-time visitor reception. It won't take long. I've got a gift for you, answer any questions you may have about the ministry, and we want to say thank you for coming. So if you're a first-time visitor, please stand up and come forward. Thank you so much. You brought a visitor, you may come with them. You brought a visitor, you may come with them. Come on, Zoe. We like our visitors. We love our visitors. Thank you, thank you. Thank you so much. Come on, Zoe. Yes. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Come on. Yeah, you may come. You brought a visitor, you may come. Come on, they're coming, Zoe. Yes. Yeah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Come on, yeah, come on, come on. Thank you. Yeah, all right, come on, come on. Yeah, come on, Zoe! Yeah. Yes. Yes. I love you all. Thank you. Be encouraged. God loves you. Watch the video. See you soon.
Hello, Zoe family. Here are some announcements. Join Bishop Ed Smith on Wednesday, August 30th at 7 p.m. for a special dialogue on why bad things happen to good people. There will be live, real talk with special guests where you will be able to ask questions. To submit your questions, email dearpastor@zcf.org. You may also submit your questions during the live stream on zcf.org. If you're a visitor at Zoe, or a member, would like to get involved, or just want to know more about the ministry, join us at our next Discover Gathering on Sunday, August 27th, after second service. Discover is a gathering where you'll find out more about our church and how you can take the next step to plug into God's plan for your life here at Zoe. Lunch is on us and childcare is provided. Sign up online at zcf.org or call the church office. Calling all young adults. If you are between the ages of 18 and 35, we would like you to be a part of the praise team and choir. Please sign up at the music ministry table following service or email smclain@zcf.org. Come join us for a special night of extended worship and prayer on Friday, August 25th from 7:30 p.m. till midnight. We are looking for musicians, singers, mimes, dancers, poets, spoken word artists, and prayer warriors to help us enter into His presence. If you are interested in sharing your gift, please sign up at the table following service to receive further information or email smclain@zcf.org. Also, if you desire to be baptized, call the church office. And those were your announcements. Be very blessed.
Wow, we had a powerful word today, yes? From a word of exhortation, a word of prophecy, a word of warning to uproot fear, to a word of the difference between a rhema and logos word. So always pursue your rhema every morning. So I just want to bless you. Have an extraordinary week. Apply, put into practice what the Lord spoke to you about today. And for my women, if you would raise your hand for me this afternoon. Where's the women, the beautiful ladies? If I can trouble you to stay with me for 2 minutes, I'm going to dismiss all the amazing men of God and the youth, the young adults, males. I'm going to dismiss you, and I need 2 words with the women of God. Okay, so have an extraordinary Sunday. Apply the word of God. God bless you, and stay blessed.